Hi guys, welcome to the Right Room Podcast. My name is Ruben Paul. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode. Last week I mentioned that this week would be an interview, but unfortunately I messed up. I left my hard disk in Bangalore, which has the footage, right? And anyway, so we will do that episode next week. So just to give you some heads up, that episode is with Rajshekhar Mamidana. We have a very cool conversation, so please stay tuned. I will make sure that it goes up next week. But coming back to this week's episode, man, I hope you guys are doing great. I hope you guys had a great week. We're already in February, guys. And this year, I told you, it's a good year. Good things are happening. We're making things happen, right? I think that's kind of important, right? Like, you look at every fresh start as possible. I remember years ago, I think this is about the time when I first started, was just starting to read. My dad gave me this, you know, 7 habits and all that, right? And I know now, right now, I don't read that much of self-help, but you know, when you're like 17, it actually kind of helps you to some extent, believe it or not, right? The reason why self-help industry is such a, you know, billion-dollar publishing industry and all the bestsellers of self-help is because people need someone at some point of them, at some point of time, right? Just to let them know, they need some signal to let them know that, you know, things are going to be okay. There is order that's eventually going to ensue after all this passing chaos, right? So that's, I think, you know, it brings me back to a point where this person said, like, I think Stephen Covey said this, right? He said, look at every opportunity you can for a fresh start, right? So even this year is just a month that is gone. So even, you know, even if you haven't done anything in Jan, you still have Feb. You still have another few months to make shit happen, right? But it's been a good year for me, man. Like, last week, I recorded my 4th video for YouTube at Hyderabad. And I have to say, it was one of the best shows that I've done in like 3 years. Normally, I don't like saying that. I don't like saying that at all, right? But when it's a span of 3 years, right, and you've done a good show, I did feel proud about it. I did feel proud that, you know, I've still kept going, still kept, you know, going forward. I think that is something that, you know, you, as you grow older, you see better things each year. Very understated, you know, aspect of growing. Like, I discovered, like, this year, after 30 years, I discovered Tupac, right? So I think this is just proof that things get better as you age. But recording a video, I think it's a lot of fun because first of all, it puts you in a state that you have something important that's going to happen. So you kind of make sure you are exercising, you're working out, your mind is in the right space, that your head is in the right space, your body feels okay, right? I made sure I got a workout in as many days as possible. Even when I was, this is the first time that something has happened when I've gone outside of Bangalore, right? And worked out in the hotel room. I've always thought I should do that, right? Like, I should work out, you know, in a place and no matter where I go. But then I just go outside and I wake up late and I eat like a pizza at like some 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. And then just stay inside and go for my show in the night. But I think this time I changed things around. Made sure I got some kind of a workout in so that I can feel good. And made sure I ate properly, right? Didn't eat any crappy food, right? And yeah, I think I was pretty much happy with the recording, that the show that happened. At least I'm yet to review the footage and, you know, start the process of editing a video. But it's important to edit videos and, you know, put out videos also, because you get rid of so much of old material. And now I'm in that place where I have to write new material, right? So I've not yet, you know, done stand-up since last Sunday. So probably I'm still on vacation right now. I'm out of Bangalore. I'm recording this while I'm on vacation. So as soon as I go back, I get to the grind of writing new jokes and seeing what's funny and how I can talk about new stuff. Then probably maybe get to writing a new show in a month or so. Let's see how it works. And I think, you know, when I was getting off stage from the recording, right, I was kind of emotional because, you know, a lot of these jokes that were written were from difficult times. And, you know, when you go through stressful times, as a comedian and even as a person, you know that things are going to get better eventually. But as a comedian, you kind of are at least have that possibility open that at least it's going to translate into some material on stage. So I was very happy that I finally made that happen. And you know, like when something happens, right, like you know, which is quite tragic, which puts you among, you know, under immense stress, like I can't talk about this on stage and recover from it, right? Which is why I have tremendous respect for Chris Rock. Like he hasn't gone on any interview, he hasn't gone on any talk show and talked about, you know, getting slapped. He's just reserved that for stand up and is working that premise only on stand up. And the thing is, even when you talk about stuff like this, right, there are ways in which you can manipulate people. But I think comedy in that way is, you know, puts holds some accountability, because when you're talking about comedy, right, like when you're talking about something that's bad that happened to you, you kind of, you know, give yourself some credit. Like, you know, just even if you look at like a Chris Rock divorce bit where he's talking about getting divorced in Tambourine, and he talks about how everyone's there to get money, his lawyers are there to get paid, his wife's lawyers are there to get paid from him, his wife is there to collect her settlement, right? And then he talks about how he ha that was the moment he thought that he made it, right? Because he didn't really graduate from college. But all of these people had gone to college, their lawyers and all of the other people, and they were there to get money from him. So that's when he knew that he made it. So that's what comedy does. You take like a really stressful situation and you find some light where you give yourself some credit. And the opposite is also true. When you're at a point of success and you're talking about a point of success in your life in comedy, you find a way to make fun of yourself, right? And I think that's a beautiful part of comedy. That's why I like comedy, where it has like all of these principles which have a very, you know, fair and just way of telling a story, right? So I was very happy, you know, with my record, with, you know, getting this video recorded, and hopefully we will get it edited and put out as reels, put out as YouTube, and put it out in a way that many people can see it, right? That being said, you know, last week was like a week of a lot of working out and being in shape, but I think, I don't know what, man. I don't know what it is about putting on weight. But you kind of realize this when you're changing pant sizes, right? Suddenly 30 does not fit. Suddenly 32 does not fit. And you're not at size 34. And you have that feeling like this is how every new pant size felt like. It was loose in the beginning, and then you had to just change. And I think in the last 4 years, I've changed four pant sizes, guys. Oh, it's kind of horrible to even think of it. But I don't know how you got to. The thing is, with putting on weight, with Indian men especially, most of us, like I think Russell Peters does this, right, in his bit. He did it when he came to Bangalore. He talked about it, like how most Indians remain skinny for a long period of time, and then after the age of 32, we just become really fat. And if you look at all our dads were really thin when they were young. It's kind of scary. So I think it all goes back to eating right and making sure you move around and exercise as much, which I think I'm going to start, right? I'm going to start exercising. I am already exercising. Even when I was on vacation right now, I did get at least two workouts. But I think I still got to make sure that, you know, the weight just doesn't get added too easily. So I'm trying to do that. This is a stressful time, man. I thought I'll talk about just one thing before, you know, ending today's podcast. Lot of news about a lot of people getting laid off, and a lot of people losing jobs, a lot of people losing employment after long periods of time because of the recession. Whatever, guys. Like, you know, honestly, everyone should know that nothing in this job market is like, you know, secure, right? And COVID should have taught everyone this. Right, but I understand a lot of people had secure forms of employment during COVID, and I did not. Up until COVID, I was relying on live entertainment to pay my bills, right? To take care of my family, to take care of myself, to make a little bit of savings, right? And for 2 years, things were, I won't say great, but at the end of it, I was still able to make the same amount of money that I made in my previous corporate job. And then it just went away. Live entertainment ceased, the pubs and bars and auditoriums and theaters were shut, and my bank balances were just dwindling and just reducing day by day, day by day, day by day. And I had a lot of important things in place, right? Like I had to get married, I had to get settled, I was already nearly 30. And this was the time when the pandemic came. So now I don't know what happened, but it kind of seems to be the same situation, right? A lot of people who had forms of employment. Maybe it was not the best job. Maybe it was not the most stimulating and also giving you the time and space that you require in terms of balancing your activities and your family and your friends with, you know, going about your job. Maybe it didn't have the best work-life balance, but it was a job. And now when people lose it, it kind of sucks. Losing a job is horrible. It is horrible because it brings you in a huge state of uncertainty. It leads you in a state of anxiety. You have this feeling at the back of your head that eventually your bank balances are going to go completely down. You're not going to have enough money to survive. And nobody, I would like to believe that not many people like, you know, borrowing and asking people money. That's the worst thing that can happen, right? And I don't know, man, like I've been in that position before where I've not had a job and had dealt with all of this anxiety, right? And I don't come from like a super financially sound background, right? It's not like I can just ask. I mean, I can, of course, I was staying with my parents. I can always ask them for things, but you can't because you're at a certain age. They've educated you and now you know that it's on you to take care of yourself, right? No matter what happens, you know, there are people there for you, but it's, you still have this thing that, you know, I have to make it happen. I have to find a, get a job, right? I'm just going to tell you just a few things, man. The first thing is like when I was looking out for jobs, right? I had to get rid of the thing that I'm going to be a beginner again, right? I did not come from a place where I was just a fresher. I already had 2.5 years of work experience. I knew a lot of stuff. But one thing is, if you're looking to get a job, just get rid of that, guys. And it's not a big deal at all, right? To seek employment, to take care of bills, to start again, to start afresh. That's not a big problem because eventually you'll find your way up, right? They say this with people who are, you know, billionaires, right? Even if a billionaire completely goes broke right up to a negative bank balance, and if he has to start a new business, he has the skills and know-how how to raise $1 billion from having a negative bank balance. And Louis C.K. did this as a bit somewhere, right? Where he was talking about how himself as a bald man would trade his entire life for a homeless guy with a full head of hair. Because a homeless guy, you know, even if he had all of Louis C.K.'s money, all of his millions that he's made, right? He would squander that on drugs and he'll be back again on the streets, right? But Louis C.K. is a guy who's doing comedy. So as a bald guy, if he has this head of hair, right, he still knows how to, you know, do comedy. And this is Louis C.K. as a homeless guy who traded lives with a homeless guy. He can still go to a comedy club, still make jokes, still write jokes, still earn some money from the club and use that money to slowly build his life. And then he'll be back again. So basically the point is, billionaires know how to make themselves billionaires even if they become homeless, right? Especially I'm talking about first generation billionaires. And that's kind of the mindset that you all, that everyone has to have, that all of us have to have, right? Like even if you become really unemployed and really get offset in our career, right? And go back, right? And if you have to start as a beginner, we have the skills and we have the ability to again rise to the top, right? So that's something that you just need to keep in mind even if you get laid off, right? When I did not have a job and I was searching for a job, that was my main job. And I think they say this, when you don't have a job, searching for a job becomes your main job. You should spend as much time as you can trying to apply for every single opportunity that comes your way. Many of it won't be good. Many of it will be bad. Many of it will be rejection emails after rejection emails. So that's when you know things are moving, right? I applied for nearly 175 jobs. I kept a count of it and I kept applying for it. A lot of it was really shit pays and I just said no. If it's a shitty pay, I just said no because it's not going to be enough to take care of my family. I'm going to be demotivated soon, right? And just keep going. Just keep going. And eventually you land like a few interviews where you nearly get the job, where you're selected for round one, selected for round two, selected for round three. And then there's a rejection email that comes afterwards. But you still keep going because you know you tried your best, right? And some interviews, you just have to have some fun. You just have to have a sense of humor as well. Like, I think one job interview, this person asked me, like, we're only able to offer you 25,000. Then I told her, ma'am, even you should leave a job then, ma'am, if they're only offering you so little money because it's not enough. And she started laughing. And yeah, I think it's just that, man. You just need to keep applying, keep trying. Don't be afraid of being a beginner. Like, see, when I was 28, I got this job after 175 jobs. And I'll tell you the way it happened as well. So I started applying for jobs. So the pandemic started in March, right? So March is when it started. So March, right, wake up every day, send my CV to a bunch of people, apply for a bunch of jobs until LinkedIn said there are no more opportunities and all the other jobs that you've applied for are the only other jobs that are listed over here, which you've already applied. So you can't apply for it again, right? Did that every day, as much as possible. And the remaining times was not great times. So it was quite anxious. There was not many things that help. I used to work out every day. I used to talk to my girlfriend, who's now my wife, every day. All of these things helped, right? But there were still anxious times. But I just tried to just keep going. All I knew is even the next day, if I didn't feel like it, I'll just apply for it, right? Then eventually, nothing happened. But eventually, I got one call, right, from a person. And she said, like, listen, we really like, we want you to write for us, right? And we're going to pay you. And it was a very less amount of money, but I was still happy that someone said that we're going to pay you and you have a job. It was a very less amount of money. And I said, I'm going to take it, right? So I took it. It was a ridiculously less sum of money, but I said, like, at least this is a positive opportunity that someone has said yes to me working remotely for them, right? And then eventually, just a day after that, I got another call saying that I got a message saying that I really liked, you know, your profile. You applied for this job. And I know that you've done a bunch of work in content. You've created podcasts, you've created videos, you do stand up. I think you'll be a really good suit in our company. We are a media type of a company. We'd really like you to work with us. Please send us a sample. And that seemed like such a good thing because this person had taken the time to go through my profile, taken the time to go through my work. And I felt really good about it, right? And it was completely a stranger, right? So he called me. I sent him a sample in a day and didn't hear back. But I knew that I really worked on that sample because I sat like a few hours away. I made a black coffee, sat awake, wrote this entire submission for him and submitted it to him. And after 2 days, I sent him a message saying that, like, haven't heard back from you. Were you able to go through it? He said, yes, I've been meaning to call you. So then he called and spoke to me and he said, like, listen, we want you to create a few videos for us and a few, you know, and eventually get into podcasts and stuff like that, right? So we think you'll be a really good suit. Do you want to take ownership of this? I said, yes, of course. And he said, can you send us a sample video? I shot the video myself. I had a little bit of money with me. I paid for an editor myself to get this video edited and sent him a footage. And that was it. Like, in a few days, they handed me an offer letter and I started working. And now it's been nearly 2.5 years, guys, since I've been working with them. And even with them, like, you know, I've started so many positions as a fresher. I started as a HR, as a fresher. I did not know jack about, you know, being about recruiting and anything. But that's okay to start as a beginner, right, somewhere. Just take an opportunity which where your skills are being used, which you can do. It doesn't have to be something really complex. It doesn't have to be a super high opportunity, but it just should be a position where you can put yourself on a trajectory of growth and eventually something good will come out of it. Eventually, you'll find some meaning in it. Eventually, your bills will be paid and eventually you'll find like some meaning in the work that you're doing and also a path for you to grow, right? So that's the only thing that I could say. Don't be afraid of being a beginner. Don't be afraid of, you know, trying as much as possible. And yeah, as per the anxiety in terms of not getting a job, I wish I had a solution for it. There is no solution, but it will end eventually when you do get a job and it'll be really satisfying. But just mentally prepare, be mentally prepared every time to, like, you know, to endure a search, right, for a particular job. Like, I remember even after I got it, and it comes in quite anticlimactically, right? Just at the moment where you think that you cannot push any further, but, you know, you just keep pushing, you just keep pushing, just keep pushing. You finally get it. And this is a weird thing. When I finally got my job, right, like, people were, congratulating me and saying, like, you know, good job on persisting so far, good job on persisting so far. And I kind of said, like, I think I could have endured a little more longer as well, because I had mentally set myself that whatever happens, I'm going to get a job by myself. And that's also important, guys, to some extent, right? By yourself, right? My dad and mom said, like, you know what, we have, you know, a lot of people who run businesses, run companies. We could all just speak to them and get a job for you. I said, no, I want to do this completely by myself. And do it by yourself. And once you do it, you'll have that confidence. And no matter what happens, you can take care of yourself and make things happen right from the scratch, right? It goes back to what I was just mentioning earlier. And that's an important thing. And it doesn't have to be like it doesn't have to be a lateral move always. You know what's a lateral move, right? Like you move to the same level, right? It doesn't have to be that always. And as comedians, people will tell you this all the time. Comedians, no matter how much of clout you might have in your social circle or in your job circle, like look at a guy like Atul Khatri, right? It's a guy who's a CEO, who had a really successful business of a company, quit all of that and started as an open micer where he didn't get paid at a really, at a small bar, right? And now he's just doing only comedy because he has that ability. I'm telling you, it's an ability that's there in all of us, right? That you start something new, even if you suck at it at the beginning, you will eventually rise to the top if you keep going at it, as long as this is something that you can do and it's also something that you like to do and want to do, right? I cannot tell you how you should want to have a job. I think that should come from within. But if you do want to have a job and do want to, you know, start earning money, don't be afraid of starting from the scratch somewhere. It doesn't have to be something that you're super confident at. But even if they're going to train you, right, just get to it as early as you can. And eventually things will fall into place. Eventually, it'll be a month. You'll get paid your salary. You'll take care of bills. And you'll take care of... probably make a little bit of savings as well, and that anxiety of not having a job would, you know, eventually go away. I think that's basically all that I have to say, because I've been in that position before, and now since layoffs are happening, I think you should know this as well, right? And there's no harm in, you know, seeking employment again. There's no harm in being unemployed. This is just how the job market is. This is beyond our control. Right, this is not something that's because of what we did. So this is not because of our work. We should not take this personally. Some things just happen and it's no one's fault. All you have to do is figure out a way to get back. So I hope that helps, guys, if you're going through a difficult time, and I hope you guys find a good job eventually. And here's another thing that helped me. I would cold message a lot of people on LinkedIn. Right, I would look at companies that were hiring and message people over there, and I would tell them, like, you know, hey, I work as so-and-so and I have so much of experience. I lost my job due to the layoff. Since your company is hiring, could you please put in a word with the HR, right? And you'd be surprised at how much people help. You'd be surprised at how helpful people are. So don't be afraid to do that as much as possible. It's a numbers game, guys. You got to try as much as possible and eventually something will happen, right? But just keep trying, and it's something good is always about to happen, right? You have to believe that. You have to believe that, even if it's going to take time. That time in retrospect will seem like a really short period of time, right? So anyway, that was the podcast for this week. I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in. And next week, guys, I shall not screw this up this time, right? I shall make sure that the conversation with Rajshekhar goes live. Thank you and have a great week.